Well, I thought all systems were go. So all systems are not go. They've gone. All systems have gone. But it is the news, according to me. Good Thursday morning. It is 7:53 a.m. I don't know what's going on with this thing. My computer all of a sudden has decided it's full. It's had enough. It's had enough of me. It doesn't want to have anything to do with the show anymore. It is June 25th, Thursday. Theological, theoretical Thursday. Theoretically Thursday, theological something. I don't know. It's Thursday. I've already been through this intro once, and I didn't realize I wasn't recording anything because the computer's full. It won't record it anymore. I can't run my DAO. Can't do anything here. I can run the DAO, but I can't. It just simply won't record anything. I just deleted a whole bunch of stuff, but it's still filling up. I'm not sure exactly why. I did some work last night with the AI agent. This thing only has, it doesn't have a real large hard drive. It's got a, that's why it was so cheap, but it was brand new. So I'm going to have to put an external. Now, when you buy an Apple product, if you can buy memory outside the Apple sphere, you're usually much better off because it's usually very, very expensive stuff. They just charge a lot of money for their stuff. So I'm hoping I can get this transferred over back over to my other computer to get this thing online, because otherwise I have no way of putting this thing online without moving around. So I got to do something. But in the meantime, at least I get the thing recorded. I can always mess with it later. Hopefully be able to put this thing on the cloud. That's where most of the memory should be. It's for some reason it's storing too much stuff on the computer. So I'll have to just look at that, see what happens with that. But it's kind of a last night I was messing around with the thing. I was trying to get my eight little agent that's on here. His name's Vector. He was apparently changing some settings, which is what I wanted him to do. That's kind of weird. For some reason my creamer is kind of frothing up, kind of funny on this. What's going on with that? I have a backup cup, by the way. I've got my chai with my coconut cream creamer in it, which seems to be doing some weird things. I have a backup cup that's kind of interesting this morning. It's a combination of sweet peach tea or sweet tea from Chick-fil-A, and it's also got some peach tea from, it's like it's like the stuff you buy at the store. It's just in a bottle. It's like a half gallon size. So it's pretty good. The actual sweet tea from Chick-fil-A is starting to turn a little bit funky, which means it's real tea, which is actually, I guess, a kind of a good thing. Now, when tea turns funky, it just means it's getting coliform bacteria in it, which is not, that's a particular bacteria that is present in your body typically. It's just not that much of it. If you drink too much of it, it can cause problems. Nothing, serious, but it's just it's called coliform bacteria. Anyway, but I'm not a doctor. So, in fact, I'm not a doctor, which is part of the show. That's actually part of the show. That part of my not being a part of the show. I have a few things. Let's see, what do I have on this other? Oh, that's okay. Okay. We're gonna play. I got all these other little sound things here. Some interesting stuff to play for you today. I've got some callers. I have no idea what the callers, by the way, the podcast caller app that I've got here, it's working. I think it's going to work. And, it supposedly will work. It seems to be working. Anyway, back to my backup cup here. I've got this tea that's in the bottle. Of course, it's got all kinds of preservatives in it. That's why it never turns funky. It's been on my boat for the last 2 weeks, unrefrigerated, and it's still fine. But that's because it's got all this preservative. I'm going to have probably so many preservatives in my body when I die that they won't have to embalm me at all. But there's kind of a mix here of, so it's got the little peach flavor to it. It's mostly I'll have to drink all that tea today because I think it's going to turn bad after today, probably. Probably already turned bad, but I'm still drinking it. Anyway, that's the point. I'll probably have to make some of my own tea. I got 3 days off. I got three whole days home. And my schedule for next month is looking pretty good. It's actually, it looks as if I will be able to have a show every day next month in July. With the exception of the 4th of July weekend, that may be a little bit tough to get a show in that weekend. Just because of the, actually that whole week might be a little bit difficult. Not the whole week, but it's just, I got a lot going on that weekend. I probably won't have a chance to actually get to the show too much. Might have a short show. We'll see how it goes. I'm still working on a way to do it live shows, but we'll see how that works out. In the meantime, that's all I've got to say. We have some other things here. We got these little sound bites that we can play that talk about what the show is all about. Really, it's kind of a thing. I'll play this and kind of see what you think. I don't know which one of these I like best. We're just going to play some, and I know that there's this one I kind of like. We'll just start at the top, start playing these, and see what you think. We'll just start with this one, I guess.
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two, but I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. I might say something that sounds real official-like, and sure, I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio.
A record player.
I'm not liable, not record responsible, not the final word, but I'm still here every week in case you haven't heard. Talk to your accountant, call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that,
hey, come back, I'll enter it.
It's probably a team. Yeah, so I'm back. We have, so let's just take all that down for advice. That's my legal disclaimer. It's probably not even a valid legal disclaimer. No lawyers were involved in this podcast. All I can say is I'm not one, so don't take any advice from me. This is just entertainment purposes. All right, we'll get all that out of the way. Let's go right to the callers this morning. I think I've got some interesting questions here from these guys. For some reason, they're out of order now. They got the order changed around. I'm not sure why. It's kind of a weird deal. And we've got a special caller from an import from Scotland, I think, or Irish or Scotland. I'm not sure where she's from. Supposed to be British, but she's not British. She's more Scottish than British. I'm not sure. Just European. So let's just say exotic European something. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Let's check in here. Let's just go down the list. They're all ordered in different ways here for some reason. I'm not sure why. So I got to make sure I got all the volume controls on and everything's working. I guess it's working. Let's see what he has to say. Go ahead,
Kevin, my man.
Yes,
playing
hey,
devil's man. Advocate here.
Okay,
this
you already
UK thought. Christian cop just won his settlement for questioning Islam in DEI training, right? But isn't there a fine line between asking questions and being disruptive? How do we know he wasn't just being argumentative? I'm all for religious freedom, but what if every employee decided to challenge workplace training because it conflicts with their beliefs?
Frankly, I don't have a problem with that. That perspective at all. You know, recently I had to do this because where I work in Chicago, apparently there's this state of Illinois or county. I don't know what it is, whether it's city or state or county, whoever requires it, because I work – the location where I work in Chicago requires me going through this workplace harassment training every year. Same videos, same everything. You have to go through it every year, which I think is harassment. Now, it has nothing to do with my job. I work with people, but it's basic common sense and giving respect to other individuals. It's not something that this should be the kind of stuff you hear about in school, and if parents should be teaching this kind of thing. Shouldn't be the benevolent government cracking down. If you don't do it, your job is threatened. You can't work. Which, in my opinion, creates a hostile work environment because they basically threaten you if you don't get this done, you're gonna lose your job. You can't do your duties. Can't work here. That's very threatening my livelihood. I consider that a hostile work environment. So having to do these videos about hostile work environments, it's like, you see the irony here. It's kind of a. Yeah, so that's kind of where I come from with this kind of stuff. But I think it's worth challenging sometimes. There's a particular, what are we basing our decisions on? It's not we should have a meritocracy where these things should not come into play. You know, the color of your skin, your religion, all those other things should just be able to be to do. If you can do the job, do the job. This idea that for some reason when – just like within the sports casting thing, this like the sports players that are – there was a high school team, I think, that was required to wear – they were punished for not being willing to wear something about Pride Week or something or whatever it was. These bunch of high school football players or something, whatever they were. Some kind of baseball, whatever they were, baseball, football, whatever they were. Somehow they were pressured into trying to pressure them to wear something. Play ball. Just play the game. You're there to play the game. You're not there to make a social statement. I think that's what frustrates the daylights out of me. And I think that's where most people in this country are there. It's like, we just stop sticking this stuff in our face. But just don't stop making it mandatory or you're going to be punished. This is social fascism. Fascism, in my opinion. Because what you're doing is you're requiring a certain lifestyle statement to be made, and you have no freedom to disagree with it. Otherwise, you're a bigot. You're socially China has a social score thing where you have to be high enough on the social score so you can apply for a car or a house or whatever it is or a job. The higher you rank on your social score. Which is exactly what's happening here. It's a passive way of doing it. There are people who won't say things on YouTube. They won't say certain words on YouTube or on social media because they get demonetized or they get diminished in their views, their promotions and their algorithms and stuff. Which is fine. If you want to participate in a platform that does that, that's fine. But the problem is, it's just that mentality. Now we're self-censoring because of that whole issue. So maybe I'm going off on a tangent here. It may not have anything to do with what you're talking about. I have not heard about the story about the particular individual, so I'm not sure that. Maybe you can fill me in more on that if you have any idea on that one. But you brought it up. Maybe you can fill me in. You probably won't because you're just going to
hold on. Okay, hold on. I hear the frustration. I really do. But there's a difference between a mandatory training program and actual fascism or a Chinese social credit system. One's annoying bureaucracy, the other's government control of your ability to own property or get loans.
Well, that wasn't very long. You didn't have a whole lot to say about that, did you? Well, Skip's letting me down this morning. Hey, that wasn't very much to say. I could continue on the conversation. I could just keep talking to Skip there all day long if I wanted to. But I'm not going to do that because I don't like Skip that much. We have Skip doesn't know it. Skip's a machine, by the way. Skip doesn't care. Skip doesn't have any feelings. Sometimes this thing will respond in ways that you'd think it has feelings. It does not have feelings, by the way. Oh, now I've got all this news stuff coming up here with China. China accelerates shift in EVs. So what else we got here? China Premier. Oh, no, so I don't see the name. I don't see anything about the Oost County joining Indiana. Illinois County is joining Indiana. There are some counties that want to defect. A bunch of southern counties in Illinois want to come over to Indiana. I wonder if I can play this.
have the latest on the state map.
Let's see what this says.
Yeah, a commission is now weighing in on whether parts of Illinois could be joining Indiana. 33 counties across the border highlighted
some clear on the west side
voted to explore leaving Illinois, as we've been reporting, and they're not necessarily interested in joining Indiana.
Yeah, last night, the Indiana-Illinois Boundary Adjustment Commission had its first meeting.
Boy, there's a lot
it
of them down near Evansville.
It is made up of six Hoosiers with spots for five people from Illinois.
Interesting. One of them is
passes a matching bill with us.
That's
interesting. The commission heard testimony about what this change would actually look like in reality, including one person who says that she wants to form a whole new state.
Well, that could happen, too.
Unless Indiana is willing to take every county except for Cook County, we wouldn't be in favor of it.
People from downstate Illinois are desperate to get away from Chicago.
And what does that actually look like? It is, again, important to note because
they're actually approving some of this stuff.
It
is a huge portion of the state.
Illinois lawmakers, and then Congress would have to sign
off. That's like half the counties of the state of Illinois. That is hilarious. That is hilarious, folks. That is, I'm not sure what to do with that. That is pretty funny, actually. There's some interesting news popping up here on my little news scanner. But, what's next, Brandon? Yeah, that's interesting stuff. Well, anyway, oh, there's some more stuff coming up. What's all flying by here? Daily Show. I got some other things. So, yeah, Thursday, the July. We'll talk about those things. Anyway, let's go on to the next caller. that's pretty funny stuff, actually. I don't know what to do with that. Well, let's talk to, let's just see who else we got here to talk to. Oh, go ahead there, Elena.
Kevin, yeah. Love the show. Regarding the MLB's Bible verse cap situation, this reminds me of the 1940s when Branch Rickey faced intense opposition for integrating baseball, yet he stood firm on his Christian principles. We're seeing history repeat itself where America's pastime is once again becoming a battleground for religious expression. How did we go from one nation under God to athletes being punished for scripture on their uniforms? What does this say about the erosion of our Judeo-Christian...
Oh, she got cut off. She didn't, she got cut off. I'm looking at the transcript flying by here as it's going by. It got a word wrong. But, Well, we definitely are in a post-Christian decline, or I would say a Christian decline, post-Christian era in our country. At the same time, I think it's there, which has some... There are good and bad points to that. I don't have to hear me out on this. The more there is, there's becoming more of a defining line between real believers, the real church, and just a kind of a phony sense of, well, you're American, so you're a Christian kind of thing. There's more of a definition, definitely, because the tougher, this has always been this way with societies. The harder it is to be a Christian, the more. You might want to say persecution you receive for being a Christian, the more genuine your faith is going to be. And that's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been. So that fire kind of brings up that kind of a defining line. It's not so wishy-washy about who's a believer and who's not kind of thing. Now you've got people like this, what's the guy's name down there? I'm not going to get into that right now. The guy running for office down in Texas, just he's saying some wacky, crazy things. All in the name of, being woke and being, but it's, yeah. So we have this idea where the unbelievers in the world, the people who are woke and the people who are all this social engineering stuff's going on, they'll quote scripture. They'll say, oh, well, doesn't Jesus said this? Well, you guys aren't real Christians. Well, Christians aren't doing this because, well, if you're a Christian, you should, why are you so angry and mean and you're so just a bigot? You're a Christian. No, they'll say that kind of thing, but it's like, well, truth is kind of a defining line. And this is a slippery slope. You go to start going down and it's people start doing it and it's, societal decay happens, and they don't even recognize it while it's happening. They won't even admit to it. We have more societal problems today than we've had, and it's not because we've gotten closer to Scripture. It's because we're going away from Scripture, and it's because we're condemning it and vilifying anybody who wants to stand up and for what they believe in, and it's in terms of the Christian faith. And so it's been a very tricky slope to navigate. But, let's see where this could go somewhere really south. Let's see what she has to say about this. I'm sure that we're going to hear something.
I appreciate you laying that out, and you're right that there's historical precedent here. Branch Rickey actually faced serious pushback from religious institutions when he integrated baseball, even though his faith drove that decision. So the idea that Christianity and cultural progress are always aligned is complicated. But I gently push back on the timeline you're drawing.
Always pushing back.
Societies have dealt with moral fragmentation and crime for centuries, and the 50s people point to as more Christian had its own serious injustices that went unchallenged in churches. The real question isn't whether we've strayed from Scripture, but whether hardship always clarifies faith or sometimes just hardens it into something else entirely.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what you said there. But that's, yeah. There has been a pseudo-Christianity, in my opinion, that has been in this country for a while. And it's always been this fight, this mix of, you know, separation, the supposed separation of church and state kind of thing. It's supposed to be freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And I think that's been one of the, and I know it sounds cliche, but it's a tough dividing line where, you know, government is not supposed to be enforcing or implying, endorsing any kind of religion necessarily, but it's also not supposed to be involved in the regulation or the restriction of any religion either. That's kind of part of it. And of course, it was based on Judeo-Christian principles. It was based on a Christian style faith, which is where we get all of our freedoms and liberties from. Unfortunately, there are people who are trying to use those freedoms and liberties to then subjugate and to undermine the very rights that we have and to try to do away with those things. It's a tough thing to navigate. I just want to say, but we can't have people imposing their religion upon anyone. But at the same time, we can't be having, you know, government restrictions and all kinds of approvals or rating, whatever it is that they do with regard to that as well. The whole MLB thing is interesting. It's a part of that, I guess.
You're hitting on something real. That distinction between freedom of religion and freedom from religion has been the actual tension since the founding. And you're right that some people weaponize religious liberty to restrict others' freedoms, which collapses the whole thing. The irony, historically speaking, is that the American experiment was built partly by dissenters fleeing imposed religion. So when any group tries to enforce their beliefs through law, they're undoing the protection that allowed them to exist in the first place.
Yeah, correct. Now, there is a moral law that I think is something that has to be upheld. And of course, that moral law is based upon Judeo-Christian principles and what is moral, what is not. So there are some things that have to spill over into the societal laws that we have. Government doesn't make our laws. We are our rights. We are recognized that we are given our rights by a higher calling. It is something that man cannot determine. Is depending on what you believe, you are endowed with those rights by your creator, not by some government institute. They just recognize that we have those rights, and they're sworn to protect them. Or they're not sworn to give us more rights or to enhance those rights. That's just, those rights are solid and sovereign in some ways. Or endowed, I guess, or whatever. What do you call it? It's a slippery slope that sometimes we get on. But we'll have to see what Chloe has to say.
OMG.
Oh, here
Kevin,
we go.
Kevin, hi. So I saw this Mississippi pastor preached for 96 hours straight.
Why?
Like, that's four whole days.
Yeah.
That's literally longer than a Kardashian marathon. But seriously, is this what church is becoming now? Endurance stunts for world records? Feels very look at me instead of, you know, actually ministering to people. What happened to just preaching the gospel?
Well, yeah, you might be onto something there. That's a very good question. You have to kind of ask anybody who's in the ministry, what are they doing it for? I see a lot of folks out there who seem to be into themselves, and this always bothers me. It is an uncomfortable, disconcerting feeling that I get sometimes when I see, and sometimes you just have to take a step back, kind of get the 10,000-foot or 30,000-foot view of what they're doing and say, okay, what are they really about here? Does this, you know, you can get so far into the weeds with them that you can't, it's kind of like you can't see the forest for the trees kind of thing. You really have to kind of back up and watch some pastoral ministry people, because we are human beings and we have this tendency. Israel went through this when they wanted their king. This is the same kind of thing. I was just talking about this the other day. People want to have a leader. They want to be able to follow someone and they can nod their head and agree and walk along. And that's kind of where people are. They want to be, there were sheep. And if you ever had sheep, or my neighbors had sheep when I was growing up. We had a neighbor across the street. It was in Millersburg, Indiana, little town. And we lived just on the outskirts. In fact, across the road was considered county property. It wasn't city limits. And, of course, it was an incorporated city. But we lived on the incorporated side. They lived on a side that was incorporated. But then they had a separate land plot behind their corporate city plot that was actually farmland. They had sheep. It was kind of an interesting thing. Now this lady, the lady was kind of the one that was the busiest of the. She had all kinds of things she did. She was a singer. I think she had a platinum record of some kind, or some kind of a. I don't know, it was just kind of. She had just kind of like a family song kind of thing she would do. It was more like, it wasn't bluegrass, but it was kind of more like just a kind of a stories about her songs were more stories about family stuff. But it was kind of a weird genre she was in. And I think she kind of won her award in that genre. This is back in the day when you actually had to go to, you know, Nashville and record, or wherever you went. You had to go someplace and record. So it was kind of, you know what? I can't remember what her songs were, but they were fun little stories. I just remember as a kid just listening to some of her songs. Anyway, I don't know if she was ever played on the radio or not. I don't know. I didn't listen to the radio that much when I was a kid, but other than I listened to Finkel, or is it Earl Finkel? Is that the guy's name? And he was out of Fort Wayne, WOWO, the big 50,000-watt broadcasting voice down there. He was at AM station where I used to listen to him every morning before I went to school. Anyway, I'm getting off track a little bit, aren't I? But you have to realize people kind of we are like sheep, and we tend to want to follow somebody. And I think when somebody pulls a stunt like this, it's to get clicks, it's to get, you know, the social, what, it's to get whatever, it's to go viral. That's what, and they might have good intentions because they feel like their message needs to get out there. And I get it. They feel like they need to kind of, they've got something important, that they're important in the ministry. Their ministry is important, and so they think that they have to get out there and share their heart because they've got this word. And then it becomes a machine. Then it becomes this entity that goes beyond themselves, and they have this thing has to happen. It kind of takes off and gets big, and then it's a money producing machine. And other people, it becomes big business, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's how it's managed, and it tends to cause issues. People tend to get into that position, and they start to fall because they have no self introspection. They have no ability to gauge themselves and where they are with all that stuff. And it's a very tough thing. You have to remain honest to yourself, and that is not easy. That is a tough place to be. Most people will get into a situation where they start thinking very highly of themselves. Now, I don't know anything about this story. I don't know what this guy did. I don't know why he was doing it. But I think it's interesting I think it's okay to be a little bit skeptical or to be a little bit discerning in these you know, why is this person doing that kind of thing? It's not so bad to ask yourself those things. It's because you don't want to be dragged down a hole with somebody.
Yeah, that self-awareness thing is literally the hardest part. And honestly, you see it all the time on social media where people start with a genuine message and then the algorithm just rewards the biggest, loudest version of themselves until they can't even recognize who they were anymore. The sheep metaphor hits different because we're all doing it now. Like, we'll follow anyone who seems confident, especially online, where confidence reads as authenticity, when really it's just someone who's figured out the engagement formula. That 30,000-foot view you mentioned is everything, because once you zoom out, you can usually see pretty quick whether someone's actually about their message or if they're just chasing the validation machine.
Yeah, the validation machine. That's a good point. It is kind of a thing. People want validation. They want to be accepted. They want to have some kind of. That's an interesting concept. Where do you go with that? It is tough, I think, for anybody in any kind of popular position. Because there's a certain box you have to put yourself into sometimes, and I think that there's been some entertainers that, you know, especially in the world, and even Christian ministers, and especially in the music world, that I think have felt hemmed in by some things, and they go into some situations where they create this genre that becomes popular, and now all of a sudden they can't explore, they can't go anywhere with it. There's been some music artists I know that. There was this one music artist that was kind of all over the place with what she would do. She was able to do all kinds of genres, and she kind of had her own feel for what she wanted to do. And she was just being creative, and no record label would take her because they couldn't fit her into a particular genre. And then she had all these big hits, and some small record label took her over. This was back in the early 2000s, I think, or late 2009 or somewhere around there. I'd heard the story. There's a guy that I listen to occasionally. He's really good. He's just a very decent guy. I think he's called Professor of Rock or something like that, or something. I think it is. But he goes over all these stories in the background, all the stuff that was going on, the deals that were being made, and different band issues and different songs and what was going on with some of the minutiae of just the nuts and bolts of some of these things. And it's been very interesting because some of the personalities involved and some of the things that happen behind the scenes and just how the industry wants to put you into a box. And I think that's just in the music industry, and any industry is that way. I think the ministry tends to be that way as well, that the people want to kind of put you in a box, and because you're this guy and you're this person, you're going to do this kind of ministry, and this is what people expect from you when you show up on the stage. And that's comedians, whatever it is, that they kind of get into this. They get put in this box, and I think that it does kind of put them under pressure to maintain that, which is a little bit tough for a person that has any kind of broad entertainment or broad talent.
Honestly, being skeptical about people's motives is like the bare minimum critical thinking we should all be doing. It's not cynical. It's just protecting yourself from getting swept up in someone else's ego trip. The whole box thing you're talking about, whether it's music labels or church expectations, it's the same trap. Once people realize what gets them attention, they're basically locked into performing that version of themselves forever. And that's when authenticity dies.
Yeah, and I think you see this, sometimes you see this even in things like, there's people who are, there's still, how do I put this? There are people from the 80s still doing shows on whether it's Branson, Missouri, or out in Las Vegas, wherever it is, they're still doing their shows. They're still doing the same songs, 50 years later, 30, 40 years later, whatever. And because they wheel them out on stage with their oxygen bottle and their walker, and they'll get out there and they'll do the same show with the same songs because it's this nostalgic thing, because they've kind of got themselves trapped into having to do this now every night in order to maintain their standard of living that they've changed, and so they keep doing it because they signed a contract for $1 million a year or whatever it is, and they get kind of trapped in their old persona that made it, and it's kind of an interesting, crazy way to do things. It's in some ways I feel bad for them, in some ways I don't, but I think it's kind of a We'll see what happens with it. But let's talk to Artie. Artie has always got something interesting to say. Let's see what
happens. Hey, Kevin. Great show.
Yeah,
quick
hello.
Technical question.
Okay.
I saw the MLB is now under DOJ investigation for that Bible verse cap controversy. Mm. Can you break down the specific legal framework they're using?
I think we already got
What precedent does Title VII religious accommodation law set for private employers versus sports leagues? And how do the metrics on religious discrimination complaints compare to other protected classes in professional sports?
Well, and here we go. I think this is the classic contentious point where we will always be, which I think is a good wrestling thing to be. I don't think there's ever going to be a time where we solve this, and I don't think we should. I think it should always be a wrestling match between the workplace. That, you know, I think it's a place where we should have some kind of work contention, kind of a an ongoing back and forth. And how we negotiate with employers and what's allowed to happen with regard to our personal religious beliefs. There are jobs. It's bizarre to me that people can get a job where their face is supposed to be covered up because of their religion, and yet nobody else is allowed to wear a face mask because it's a security issue. But that person, because of their religious beliefs, now you can't discriminate. You can't discriminate. There's some things that it just don't make any sense to me. Of course, now it's just like carrying a knife. Well, it's a ceremonial knife. It's my ceremonial knife. I have to carry that knife because it's a ceremonial knife. It's part of my religion. It's part of my beliefs. I think there's that. This just recently happened. Where, I think it was in. I'm not sure it was in England or where it was. Guy got stabbed. Well, no, I mean, I think it was actually in this. It was over in England. Guy got stabbed by somebody with a ceremonial knife, and of course they didn't want to prosecute the guy on the spot because they didn't want to be bigots, so they couldn't go. They arrested the guy who died from the stabbing because they thought he brought it upon himself because he was he couldn't say what was going on because he was dying, and they people who were there that killed him They said something else. Their mother took the knife away. This is a grown man. He told his mother to come get the knife and take it away from the scene so that when the cops showed up, they wouldn't find the knife. It's an outrageous thing. If you watch the video of this whole thing, it will enrage you. You will be extremely angry, which is why there's riots breaking out because of the whole thing too. That, of course, they're not going to fix it. I think Starmer might have stepped down. Anyway. Yeah, there's always this contention between, does the private employer have the ability to tell you what to do with regard to your religious beliefs? And, how far can that go? How far can they step into that? Can you wear a T-shirt that says Jesus saves and show up to work in that T-shirt? Now, if you're working in a factory where there's no, your customers aren't seeing that shirt, or if you're working in a place where you're doing customer service and your customers are seeing that shirt and it's... So is that something you want to portray as a company, or is that something you want to have, I don't have a problem with it. Of course, I wouldn't have a problem with it if there was something that was degrading. Now, if it's vulgar, I was getting on an airplane recently. I was waiting for the airplane. The plane was deplaning, and I was waiting to get on the plane. And this other pilot was apparently just traveling. He got off the plane. He was in his uniform, but he was obviously just traveling. I don't think he was actually the pilot for that airplane. Got off the plane and, or maybe he was. Maybe there was a crew switch. There might have been a crew swap at that point. Going out of South Bend. I can't remember. He steps off the plane or steps off the gate jet bridge, and he's on in the terminal there. And this guy's standing. I didn't see this guy's shirt. I didn't see it. But this pilot looked at this captain and said, "You could be kicked off for wearing that shirt." He said, "You could be unallowed on the they can." Boot you off the plane for wearing that shirt. Cover that up. And he just kept on walking. Didn't know what it said. And I looked at it. Sure enough. It was a very vulgar word on his shirt. Very plain. Very, very clear. It was the F word. And it was... I've never confronted anybody about that. However, now he didn't tell him to take it off. He didn't tell him. All he said was, they can kick you off for wearing that shirt. Cover that up. He's giving him some advice, which I think was some good advice. Because they can kick you off for that. There is in the policies when you buy your ticket, that's part of something you agree to. So you know, can they rent? Well, yeah, if you agree to it, you're paying for the service. You don't have to work. That's the thing. You don't have to work for an employer. If they say that, well, we can't allow you to wear that particular T-shirt because it says, you know, it has this religious term on it or whatever it is, or you got this scripture verse on there, they don't like it. You don't have to work there. You can choose to not wear the T-shirt or you can not work there. That's part of the freedom. So there's this contentious point, I think, that we could get into. It's a constant thing, which I think is healthy, but at the same time, it's difficult. It makes life difficult. But it is something I think that we need to just struggle through, work through with our employers.
Yeah, you're hitting on something real here. The line between reasonable accommodation and, frankly, accountability gets blurry fast, and I think that's actually where the tension live. Technically speaking, there's a legal framework for religious accommodation under Title VII, but it only requires employers to accommodate unless it causes undue hardship, which gives them a ton of wiggle room. And honestly, that's intentional, because absolute religious exemptions from conduct rules would create exactly the chaos you're describing. The ceremonial knife case you mentioned is the perfect stress test. It's not about the religion itself, it's about whether we hold everyone to baseline safety standards. And I think most people would agree a knife that's used in a stabbing, ceremonial or not, crosses a line that supersedes the accommodation argument.
Yeah, I think, good points. I don't know what more I could say about it. It's we can continue the conversation here, but we're not going to. I got something else I want to move on to. I don't know how long we've gone so far. But we've gone far enough. Gone far enough. It's out of control. Anyway, I got one more caller here. No one's hooked. This is kind of an inside joke, sort of. Inside outside joke. It's an inside joke. I'm gonna probably be sleeping outside after this joke goes past. But we'll see what happens here. This is Margaret from somewhere. I don't know. I think she's from Scotland. I've never really asked her. See what she has to say. She has an attitude, so we'll see what she has to say here. Good morning,
Kevin. I just had a spiritual experience at Starbucks. I was walking past and thought about getting a cup of coffee.
Then
I looked at the line, and it was about 2 miles long.
Yeah, of course it is.
So I stood there for a bit and wondered if it was worth it all.
Yeah.
Well, out of the blue, I realized that it's way too much for a cup of coffee that just frankly isn't all that good. Not worth the $7 and half an hour in line it was going to cost me. What do you think?
Well, I really shouldn't talk about it because I've been told that I talk about Starbucks too much. So I can't discuss this. I'm glad you brought it up, though. I didn't bring it up, so I guess I'm okay. I didn't bring it up. You brought it up, so I... But I don't know. So I really shouldn't comment on it. But so I let you comment. Go ahead and what do you think? Go ahead and continue on. I just like listening to you anyway because that's kind of a
Look, okay, you're clearly dancing around something here, but let's be straight about it. If you've got something worth saying, say it. Don't just hint at it like you're worried someone's listening. Either you think Starbucks is relevant to what we're discussing, or you don't.
Yeah, I'm dancing around it all right. Okay. Well, yeah, you had to be there, I guess. It's just a funny thing. Anyway, so we're going to, oh my, yeah, we're going to, let's see, what else we got going on here? We got, I think I can just play this. I'm just going to play this because it's, here we go. We'll talk about what's going to be on the show later. And, right after this little ditty.
It's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, according to me, it's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, according to me, it's the news, yeah, according to me, it's the news, according to me. It's the news. according to me.
Anyway, hey, we got a few things coming up on the show tomorrow. Tomorrow's Financial Friday. I don't know what's going to be. I don't know what the callers are going to have to check and see what the callers are going to call about. We have possibly some interesting things that they're going to talk about. We do have. I don't have anything else on there. Is it? Okay, that's the blank one. There we go. There we. I have. We don't have any sponsors for this show. However, there I do. Since I'm using the podcast caller app, I want to just want to let you guys know, my listeners. I just want to let you know what's happening. Tomorrow, one of the things I want to talk about tomorrow at the Financial Friday show is the some of the issues that we have going forward with just where the economy is. And I'm going to give you my take on some things about the economy, but also about what to do with your money right now. I mean, where do you have it? We're just going to look at a bunch of different angles. I'm not going to give you any advice, of course. But we're going to look at a few things and some things to think about. Hopefully, give you some insights on what to think about the future as far as your financial future and what's happening economically. You know, where to position yourself and just the different ideas people are out there with. Not advice. Just some of the different angles that maybe change your paradigm, change your perspective. And look at some different things from some different perspectives and just kind of go from there. So I think that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. I'm not sure what the callers are going to have. Who knows? They may bring up something that we might dive deep into. I don't know. And hopefully get this issue straightened out with my computer here so I can get the show out quicker. But it's a lot going on this weekend. So or this week and throughout this week, I got a lot to get done because the next weekend is the 4th. You know, people coming in from out of town. We're going to be very, very busy that weekend. So that'll be, plus I'm going to be launching the podcast caller show, which I'm going to talk about. I'm going to actually have a podcast with the podcast caller app. And, I've actually designed a couple songs around it. So the intro song, the exit songs, that kind of stuff. I'm going to play one of those for you here in just a little bit. But the podcastcaller.com, is the website, and it's going to be up live. It's actually live right now. You can actually use the 14-day trial period, but there's also going to be a paid tier program. Should be tied up today. Should be all buttoned up today. I'm kind of getting burned out on working on it. It's just been such a hassle between that and some other things. It just seems to keep having to kind of redo some things here and there, but it's been an educational work that I've been going through as far as just learning things about programming. And this is kind of one of the first big apps I've ever launched that's out there on the web anyway. It's a web-based app. But it's there's going to be some other apps that come about that kind of happen with this as well. But so that's what's happening. In the meantime, I want to play this little song for you. It's I've got several of these, but there's different ones. And this kind of gives you a feel for what the show is going to be, the vibe of the show. It's more of an advertisement, and it's more of a how-to, plus it's kind of a promotional podcast for the podcast caller app, which I think that's why I'm going to have maybe 5 days in a row where I have a show pre-recorded. It's not really up-to-date news or anything. It's just a show about the app itself. It's more of an instructional plus a promotional kind of podcast show. Probably going to be a video show as well, because it has to be, you have to show the screenshots and all that stuff as to what's happening with the show and how to manage it, how to operate, that kind of thing. So it's kind of a little bit different kind of a flavor to the show. Not political at all. Well, probably not. Might be a few political stingers here and there, but that's about it. It's just basically a show about the podcast caller. So I want to play this little ditty, and then we're going to go into, the final throes of the show, you might say. This is, see what you think of this.
Welcome, welcome, the line is ringing, ears on friend, you'll catch us singing, we talk the app that makes the call, podcast caller one and all, please hold your caller number one, podcastcaller.com is where it's at.
It's a little something simple like that. Anyway, that gives you an idea what the vibe of the show is about. It's just kind of a simple little show, like, or a simple little thing like that. It's kind of a, there we go. In the meantime, we will be here back tomorrow. As we go into the weekend, of course, we got, the month is almost, over. I've got a lot of things to do today, a lot of stuff happening. Got to go pick up the dog from the groomer. Got to get a, I got some sewing I got to do for the boat. Got to get the Bimini and something, the Dodger, all that stuff's got to be done. Because we got people coming to the boat. It makes living on the boat a little bit nicer, especially if the rain happens to happen. But, yeah, we got, it's going to be interesting year this year on the boat because of the, we got a little different location now. We got a different dock. So it's kind of a cool thing. We'll see how it goes. What happened to my other? Oh, shouldn't push that button. Anyway, so we have a lot going on. Anyway, folks, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for being with us this week. Again, next week will probably be a little bit different. Until July is going to be, I think, a good week for the show. Anyway, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. In the meantime, I will see you.